Now we're holding on Gimel Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. I recorded yesterday a Mishnah from later in the Masechta that contrasts the Eidos Rishona and Eidos Achrona, the first Eidos and the last Eidos. The first Eidos meaning the Eidim that she was in Stira, that the woman was in Stira, which now makes her a Sota after Kinui. And the one that and the Eidos Achrona, which would be Eidos that she was at, that she actually became Tomei. Where we said that that last one requires only one aid, whereas the previous one, according to Rabbi Yeshua, at least, which we said was the halacha, requires two aid. So the Gemara says, bottom of Gimel and Beis, Ezu hi Eidos Harishona, Zu Eidos Stira. So let's spell it out, actually. So now we're going to say a little bit differently. Eidos Rishona actually does not mean, Eidos Rishona, the one that requires two Eidim, Zu Eidos Stira, that refers to the Eidos that she was secluded with this man. Eidos Achrona, and what would be Eidos Achrona, Zu Eidos Tumah, that would be if there were Eidim that she actually became Tomeh, where there we said you don't need two Eidim, one is enough. Now, the Kamashir Stira. So now, the Braisa says, what is the amount of time that they would have to be secluded in order for her to be Osir? Given that the whole idea behind the stira is that she might have become Tomei, obviously if they were only in stira for a second or two, then that wouldn't be enough. So therefore, what is the amount of time? So the Gemara says, Kedei Tumah, that is the amount of time to become Tomei, namely Kedei Bia, namely the amount of time for Bia. And you should know, when we say Bia, Kedei Ha'ara, we don't mean full Bia, as in Gemar Bia, as in all the way in, but only Kedei Ha'ara, only the amount of time it would take to do Ha'ara, which we learned actually in Yevamos, that there were two definitions of Ha'ara. The halacha was like the opinion that said that it means neshika satara, when there's first contact between the evarim, that would be kedei hara. So the amount of time that it would take to do that, and what would be that amount of time? Kedei hakofas deto, the amount of time that it would take to walk around a palm tree. The Gemara is gonna further down on the Amud is gonna talk about what that means exactly. So that would be divir Rabbi Shmuel. All of that is according to Rabbi Shmuel. All of that is a point to Rabbi Shmuel, that would be the amount of time would be the time it takes to walk around a palm tree. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that we also have to add to that a little longer the amount of time that it would take for HaTorah Sinner. A woman, because of the Takana of Ezra, that the Gemara mentions here and there, that a woman is supposed to wear a Sinner, which is literally, in modern Hebrew, a Sinner means an apron. So it could mean an apron-like undergarment. It could mean something like underwear, like we're familiar with, or whatever it is. It's something to preserve her tznius, even like when she's bending over or whatever. So Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, after that, because necessarily that has to be removed in order to do bia, then the amount of time would be kedei akofas dekol, or all the various other amounts that we're going to mention in the Gemara over here. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Eliezer and kedei mezigas hakos. Rabbi Eliezer says it would be the amount of time that it would take to mix water into a cup of wine, as we know from all over Shas, they didn't drink their wine neat. They used to dilute it with water. So the amount of time that it would take to dilute that. Rabbi Yeshua says it wouldn't be the amount of time to mix it with water. And Rashi, by the way, points out over here, it's a kois over here, we mean a revis. So Rabbi Yeshua says, kedei l'shtoisei, the amount of time that it would take to drink the cup of wine. Ben Azar ever kedei litzlos beitza. Ben Azar says it would be the amount of time that it would take to roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva Oimer kedei l'goima, and Rabbi Akiva says not how long it would take to roast it, but how long it would take to swallow down the roasted egg. The pashtus, we don't mean necessarily a hard boiled egg. The pashtus, we mean that it was just roasted enough to be soft boiled or whatever, where you could then swallow it down. So Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Akiva would say that would be the amount of time. Rabbi Yehuda, but Tosfos points out, by the way, that Rabbi Akiva was Ben Azai's Rebbe. So why are we putting Ben Azai before, why are we putting Ben Azai before Rabbi Akiva over here, is because practically speaking, roasting the egg comes before swallowing it. So therefore it puts them in that order. And then similarly, there are, So the Tosfos says in general, though we may be going according to the order of eating and drinking. So therefore we don't have to be bothered by the fact that the Panoyim here are mentioned out of chronological order, even though, for example, Rabbi Shmuel belongs to the same generation as Rabbi Akiva. So why are we putting him before Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who were his Rabbeim? Because we're going primarily according to the order of eating. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel says something that has nothing to do with eating. He says about going around a palm tree. All the other ones mention something involving eating or drinking. Anyway, the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Kedele Gmoya Sholosh Beitzim Zuachazu. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says it would be the amount of time that it would take to swallow three eggs one after the other. Is again, this is all these are the various shiurim for the amount of stira, for the amount of time that it would take to that it would take for her to be tame, that potentially that she could become tame, where therefore the stira is meaningful. By the way, this is very, even though nowadays we don't have the dinim of soita. And we learned on Beis Amud Beis that a husband should not warn his wife to not be alone with somebody, because if she does then she's going to be stuck. These dinim are negeya nowadays as far as the question of yichud, that if a man and woman are going to be alone together, for example, so the poskim nowadays, for example, talk about in an elevator, is there a problem with an unrelated man and woman being together in an elevator? So some of the poskim are more makel, because even though the amount of time you could be in the elevator conceivably could be more than the amount of time we're talking here, fine. But practically speaking, of course, that we do have to consider, you know, you're also new, there would also be the time that it would take for him to seduce her, and just two people meeting casually on an elevator, just meeting for the first time in an elevator, that's not likely to happen. So therefore, there's not necessarily an issue with that. But there is this whole business of sheer stira does come up in that connection also. Anyway, the Gemara continues. The Braisa continues. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yirmi Omer, the Elisha Garden Nima. The amount of time that Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmi actually says the Kedel Elisha Garden Nima, the amount of time that it would take to tie together the loose ends of a broken thread. So if you have a weaver, and particularly a Gaudi is an expert weaver, so he's weaving cloth, and in the middle one of the threads snaps. So instead of pulling out the whole thread and discarding it, what he does is he ties the two loose ends together in order to get it back. So he says that would be the amount of time that would be sheer stira. Chanin ben Pinchas says it's the amount of time that it would take for a woman to stick her hand into her mouth to take out a splinter that might be stuck between her teeth. So that would be the amount of time. Next, Plimoy Omer. Plimoy is the name of one of the Chachamim. Plimoy is the name of one of the Chachamim. He has yet another shiur. The amount of time that it would take for her to stick her hand into a basket to get out a loaf of bread. And further on, the Gemara is going to ask about a number of these. What kind of basket are we talking about? What kind of bread are we talking about? At the end of the Amud, the Gemara is going to go, and then the beginning of the next Amud, the Gemara is going to go into questions on a lot of these. Anyway, and please continue. Yaakov, it would be better if you mute me. Say, there's a lot of background noise there. Okay. And Plimoy says, Afopishain Raya Vadova, even though I don't have a solid proof. Now the Gemara is going to say soon that each of these Chachamim estimated it based on the amount of time that it would take him himself to accomplish Riyah. So therefore, he said he used that for the Shia. So Plimoy is saying, even though when I'm saying the amount of time it would take to take a loaf of bread out of a basket, I don't have a solid proof that it would be so, because just based on my personal experience, Zeicha Ladover, but there was a remez for it in a pasuk. Because of a woman, a zona, up to a loaf of bread. So the simple meaning of the pasuk, Mephoshim explained, means something like a man gets involved with a zona, eventually he ends up losing all his wealth, and eventually he gets to the point where he's down to his last loaf of bread because he spent all his money on her or on other such things. But so we see, in other words, the point is, Plimoy says, you see that there's a certain association in the pasuk between a loaf of bread and an isha zayna. Therefore, we have a remez for the idea that I'm saying that the amount of time for hara to actually commit the act with a zona would be the amount of time it takes to take a loaf of bread out of a basket. Okay. So thus far the Braisa. So the Gemara says v'chol hani lomali. Now let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa when Rabbi Shmuel started by saying the amount of time is kadei tumah, kadei bia, kadei hara, kadei hakofas deka. Why did he need to mention all those details? So the reason is tzrichi. We need all of them. The itana kadei tumah. If the Tana had only said the amount of time for Tumah, Hava Amina Kadei Tumah Tumasa Va'arat Susa, then you would think you have to consider not only the amount of time for the actual Tumah, for the actual act, you also have to add in the amount of time that it would take to convince her. After all, you know, there's going to be some convincing. It's not that easy for a Jewish woman to commit Znus. So you would think that it means that you have to add in that time as well. Kamashmoram Kadei Bia. Therefore, he says Kadei Bia, to inform you that no, we don't have to include the time of Kadei Arat Susa because we're assuming we're talking about where she's already previously been she's already friendly with the guy and is already willing to go through with it. After all, the whole reason why the husband warned her Alti Sasri Mishplaini is because he realized that they've been alone often, or at least that there's a suspicion that they might be, and therefore that she might have been Mizana. So we don't have to include the Kadei Arat Susa. We don't have to include the amount of time that it would take to talk her in. So that's why it says Kadei Toma. That's why it says Kadei Bia, rather. The E Tana Kadei Bia, but if it only said the amount of time for Bia, have Amina Kadei Gmar Bia, then you would think that it means Gmar Bia, the amount of time that it takes to go all the way in. Kamash Molam Kadei Hara. Therefore, the Braisa continues with the word Kadei Hara, where we know that for almost all purposes in Halacha, Hara is equivalent to Gmar Bia. We look back in Yevamos, for example, that as far as Yibum, it's considered the equivalent. Once Hara has been accomplished, then she's considered his wife for all purposes. And for most other purposes in Halacha, also a notable exception being Shifcha Harufa, then also Hara is the equivalent of Gmar Bia. So therefore here also, it's Kadei Hara. But then the Iyashmin Kadei Ha'ra, Havamin Kadei Ha'ra of Arat Susa, still you might think that still includes the amount of time to talk her in for that. In other words, that Rashi explains at some length over here that we would have thought that Kadei Bia would be everything that's involved in the process of Bia, talking her into it and doing Gmar Bia. And then you would say that, okay, so we're saying not Gmar Bia, but only Hara. Maybe still you need Arat Susa. Maybe still you need the amount of time that it would take to talk her into it. So that's why it says, Kamashma and Kadei Tuma, therefore it says only the amount of time for Tuma, which means just the amount of time for her to actually become Tomei. So, in other words, Rashi explains why couldn't it have just said Kadei Tuma and that would be enough, or why couldn't it just say Kadei Hara and that would be enough, is because even if we only had Kadei Hara, you wouldn't know that it doesn't include the time to talk her into it. So therefore you need all of those expressions to make it clear we mean only Bia, and within Bia itself we mean only Hara. We don't require Gmar Bia, and the point of that is Kadei Tuma, the point of that is because that's the minimum amount of time that would be required for her to become Tomei. And once we establish that for Kama Kadei Hara, now that we understand, so the Iyashmin Kadei Hara, Havamin Kadei Hara of Arat Susa. If it only said Kadei Hara, you would still think that you need the amount of time that it takes to talk her into it. Kamash Molam Kadei Tuma, therefore it uses the expression Kadei Tuma to make it clear that we mean all we need is the time that it actually takes to become Tomei, which is only Hara, because Hara is enough for her to become Tomei. We're assuming, in other words, that there was already previously that he talked her into it, and therefore we don't need now when we have the stira after the kinui, we don't require the amount of time that it would take for Arat Susa. So Rashi teaches out why we need all three expressions. Then once we establish that, Kama Kadei Hara, now how much is the time for Hara alone is Kadei HaKofas Dekel, is the time that it would take to go around the palm tree. And Rashi explains the reason why it didn't just say that to begin with is because then you wouldn't understand what is going around a palm tree have to do with her becoming Tomei. So therefore, we have to clarify the point of the minimum amount of time we're talking about is enough time for her to become tamei, and therefore, the Tana of the, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is telling us two different points. Number one, he's telling us what's the actual practical amount is. He's putting it in terms of walking around a palm tree. Keep in mind, of course, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have any kind of accurate clocks or watches, so it's not like they could say that it's going to take X number of seconds or whatever. So he has to give it in terms of something that people will be familiar with from their experience. But then he has to give all the background behind it in order to explain why specifically is that shiur chosen, and the reason is because that is the shiur chosen. So the Gemara says what I mean. Now, given all of that, then I have a contradiction then in that case. So we have the Braisa, we have Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and we went through why Rabbi Shmuel phrases it the way he does. So now Urminhi, now I have a contradiction though to this Braisa. Another Braisa gives different shiurim, and many of them in the name of the same Tanoim. A Braisa says Nistira, that when the woman is secluded, the Kama Shiur Stira Lo Shemayinu. Now, based on the Pasuk, you don't have an amount of time that it would take to the minimum amount for Stira. True Oimer Vahinitma, but since the Pasuk continues, and she became Tomei, have the Oimer Kadeh Tumah, Kadeh Bia, Kadeh Hara, Kadeh Chazoras Dekel, then you have to say it would be Nitma, would be Kadeh Tumah, the amount of time that it would take for her to become Tomei, which in turn is Kadeh Bia, what is Tumah means that she had Bia. And as we said before, that means kadeh ha'ra, not the complete bia, but just the ha'ra is enough, because that's enough to ask her to her husband. And that amount would be kadeh chazaras dekel, dibir Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says it's the amount of time that it takes to walk around a palm tree. Now in the Braisa, at the top of the Amud, that was Rabbi Shmuel saying that. In that Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, it said kadeh mezigas ha'kois. So that's the Urmini, that's the Gemara is going to point out, that you have a contradiction where you have a number of the Tanurim who said one thing in the first Braisa are saying something completely different in the other Braisa. Rabbi Yeshua and Kedem Zigas HaKos. Rabbi Yeshua says it's the amount of time to mix water into a cup of wine, which is what Rabbi Eliezer had said in the first Braisa. Ben Azeh and Kedem Shtoise. Ben Azeh says it's the amount of time to drink it, which is what Rabbi Yeshua had said in the first Braisa. Rabbi Akiva and Kedem Litzlas Besa. Rabbi Akiva had said it's the amount of time to roast an egg, which in the first Braisa was Ben Azeh. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and the Kedel Goima, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says the amount of time that it would take to swallow it down, which in the first Braisa was Rabbi Akiva. So in short, in other words, we have almost the same Tanoim, but their opinions are all mixed up compared to the first Braisa. We have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Azai, and Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, five of the six Tanoim that we had at the beginning of the in the first half of the first Braisa at the top of the Amud, but not one of them is saying the same thing as he said in the first Braisa. Each one is saying something that was attributed to a different Tana in that first Braisa. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara starts off, well, first of all, now one noticeable difference is that there's in the terminology of the first shear, there's a little bit of a difference. In the Braisa at the top of the Amud, it used the expression hakof stekel. Here in this one, it used the word chazora stekel. So the Gemara says, kasak daita hainu hakof stekel, hainu chazora stekel. So we would assume that the word hakofas dekel and chazoras dekel mean the same thing, and therefore you have a problem. Hossam Amar Rabbi Shmuel kadeh hakofas dekel or polig Rabbi Eliezer alei. There you have Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says hakofas dekel, the time it takes to go around a palm tree, and Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Hossam Amar Rabbi Eliezer kadeh chazoras dekel, and here Rabbi Eliezer himself says chazoras dekel. If we assume that chazoras dekel and hakofas dekel are the same thing, then what's going on over here? The answer is they're not the same thing. Hakofa means how long it would take to walk around the palm tree on foot. Chazara would mean if you bend a branch of the palm tree in one direction, how long will it take to go back in the opposite direction? Which at the bottom of the Amud, Rav Ashi, a few lines after we go through the opinions in the Braisa, then Rabbi Ashi is going to ask what that means, if it means the amount of time that it would take to go completely in the opposite direction, or just the time that it would take to get back to its original position. So we'll get to that soon. But in any case, Chazoras Dekel and Hakofas Dekel don't mean the same thing, and therefore therefore Rabbi Eliezer is not contradicting himself, because before when Rabbi Shmuel Shmuel said hakafas dekel, the amount of time it takes to walk around a palm tree, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, no, it's the amount of time that it would take when you bend a branch of a palm tree, how long it would take to go back in the opposite direction. So still though, the Gemara says, hasam kedem ziga. Still, though, you have that. I skipped a little bit. Sorry. So there are two different things. Well, then the question is, boy Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi asks, hakofa beregel chazora beruach. So boy Rav Ashi chazora beruach. Does that mean when we talk about chazora beruach means, in other words, sorry, not when you bend the twig. Not when you bend the branch, but rather when the branch sways in the wind, how long does it take to sway back? So now, Bori Ravash. So what does that mean? Ki heichid de ozel v'hoder osi. Do we mean the amount of time that it would take for the branch to blow in the wind in one direction, v'hoder osi, and then go back to its original position? Or maybe it's not, maybe it needs more than that. Maybe it's the amount of time that it takes for it to go back and forth and come back to its original position. When you think about it, when a branch blows in the wind, so you have it'll blow in one direction, then you know every reaction begets an equal and opposite reaction, so then naturally then it will then tend to bend back in the other direction, about as much as it did in the first direction, and then afterwards it'll vibrate back and forth a little bit, and eventually it'll hold still. So that's what Ravashi is asking, are we talking about the amount of time that it would take for the branch to bend from its original position and go back to its and go back to be in the same position that it was before on its way to going in the other direction, or are we talking about the amount of time that it would actually take for it to keep going, to keep vibrating back and forth until it stands still again? And the Gemara says, "Teku, we don't know the answer to that." Tosfos points out. Now, why don't we? Why doesn't he have a better question? Why isn't he asking? What size palm tree are we talking about, or what size branch are we talking about? So the answer is the same way as with the mezigas hakois, where Rashi said before that a kois by default means a revius, and the same way as by a number of the other shiurim, where it's going to mean an average size thing of that, an average size egg, an average size fire, et cetera, et cetera. The same way Rav Ashi knew we meant an average size branch of an average size palm tree. So his question wasn't that. His question was only within that itself. When the branch goes, are we talking about the amount of time that it takes for it to go? From its original position, and then for a fraction of a second, be back in its original position on its way to blowing in the other direction, or do we mean the total time that it takes to vibrate and go back and forth? Still, the Gemara asks, fine, but still, in the first Braiser, Rabbi Eliezer had said, so fine, we've said that Rabbi Eliezer is not contradicting himself because we said Hakofas Dekel, which was Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and Chazoras Dekel, which in the second Braiser is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, we said are two different things. One's the amount of time it takes to walk around it, and the other is the time it takes for the branch of it to go back and forth. Fine, but still, Hosam Omer Rabbi Eliezer, in the first braise, he said it's the amount of time that it would take to mix water into wine. And in the second braise, he's saying it's the amount of time for the branch of the palm tree to go back and forth. So what does he hold? And the Gemara answers, they're both the same shear, it's just expressed in two different ways. Again, you know, nowadays we would just say, each one would say it in a certain number of seconds or minutes or what have you. Since they didn't have clocks or watches and they had to estimate based on natural phenomena that they see, then Rebbe Eliezer came up with two different ways of describing it. One in terms of the amount of time it would take to mix water into wine, and the other one, the amount of time that it would take for an average-sized branch of a palm tree to go back and forth. Next, let's deal with Rabbi Yeshua. In the first braise, Rabbi Yeshua said it's the amount of time that it takes to drink the mixed cup of wine. Here he's saying it's the amount of time for mezigas hakois to mix them. Here the Gemara knows it's obviously not the same thing. That's obviously not the same amount of time. So we can't answer like with Rabbi Eliezer that it's the same thing. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yeshua in both braises means the amount for both, the amount of time that it takes to mix the cup and to drink it. Therefore, in effect, in other words, Rashi says what he's doing is when he says l'shtoisei, he's referring back to what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Eliezer, you're saying that's just the amount of time it takes to mix them? No, I would say not only the time it takes to mix them, but also the time it takes to drink them. You have to add that as well. Well, the Gemara asks, why do we need that answer? Why don't we just answer like before that they're both the same shear? And the answer is, because then he'd be saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. And since obviously in both braises he's disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, so we can't just say that it means that he and Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer in the first braise and Rabbi Yeshua in the second braise would be saying the same thing. Necessarily, we have to be saying that Rabbi Yeshua in both braises is saying, in each braise, he's saying half of what he says. So in the first braise, he says, "Kedei l'shtoisei," meaning, in addition to your Rabbi Eliezer's kedei l'mozgoi, it also kedei mizigas hakos, it also requires kedei l'shtoisei. And then in the second braise, he says that, don't think I mean only to drink it, I mean also to mix it and to drink it. Okay, so that takes care of Rabbi Yeshua. Next, hosam omar ben azek kedei litzlis beitza, hachi omar, in the first braisa, Ben Azay says the amount of time it takes to roast an egg. In the second braisa, he says the amount of time it takes to drink the mixed cup of wine. And the answer is again, I divide, again, those are two different ways of expressing the same thing. So Rabbi Yeshua, so far we have Rabbi Shmuel is only in the first braisa. He says it's the amount of time to walk around a palm tree. Rabbi Eliezer appears in both braises. He says it's the amount of time to mix a cup, which is also equivalent to the amount of time that it takes for the branch of the palm tree to go back and forth. Rabbi Yeshua says it's not just the time it takes to mix the cup, it's the time it takes to mix and drink it. Ben Azay says only the amount of time it takes to drink it, which is also the equivalent of the amount of time that it would take to roast an egg, meaning again, an average egg on an average fire. Next one, Hosam Omer Rabbi Akiva Kedei L'goyma Hocha Omer Kedei Litzlis Beitza. In the first braise, Rabbi Akiva says the amount of time it takes to swallow down the egg. In the second braise, he says the amount of time it takes to roast it. So what does he mean? And the answer is again, like with Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Kedei Litzlis Beitza L'goyma. He means the amount of time it takes to roast it and to swallow it down. Again, like Rabbi Yeshua before, he's referring back to the previous opinion, just like Rabbi Yeshua is saying you, Rabbi Eliezer, said that it means the amount of time to mix a cup of wine. And I'm saying not only to mix, but also to drink. Ben Azay and Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azay is saying the amount of time it takes to roast the egg. Rabbi Akiva is saying not only to roast it, but also to swallow it. And again, the Gemara asks, why not answer that it's both the same shear? And again, the answer is, because then Rabbi Akiva is going to be saying exactly the same thing as Ben Azay. And we can't have that. The whole point is there's a machlokes over here, which by the way, Tosfos points out, for that matter, it would come out the same as Rabbi Huda ben Beseira in the second braisa, because he also says kedei l'goyma. So that's what Rabbi Akiva means. He means both. In the first braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says it means the amount of time it takes to swallow down three eggs one after the other. And here he's saying the amount of time it takes to swallow it, Pashtus meaning one egg. So what is it, one egg or three eggs? The answer is L'dvarav de Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is referring back to what Rabbi Akiva says, and he's saying like this, D'ka'omar, Mesharin with Sliyo of Gmiya. Rabbi Akiva is saying you need to have the amount of time it takes to roast the egg plus the time it takes to swallow them down. So Rabbi Yehuda says instead of having to use two different actions, instead he says to Rabbi Akiva, you might as well define it by only one action, namely the swallowing, and that would be kedei l'gamea sholosh beitzim zuachazu, the amount of time that it would take to swallow three eggs one after the other, dahainu tzliyo gmiya, which equals the amount of time that it would take to roast them and to swallow them. So in other words, he's not really arguing with Rabbi Akiva. He's saying, if given that now we understand that you, Rabbi Akiva, are saying that it means both actions, the roasting and the swallowing. Why bother with that? Instead, just use one pula, which is to swallow it. And you should know the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs is going to be equivalent to the amount of time that it takes to roast one egg and then to swallow it. So that takes care of all of the opinions that were repeated between the two braises. And so we've shown how they don't contradict each other. Now let's go through in the first braise. We had several more opinions. We said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yirmiyah Omer Kedesh Yikshav Gaudi Nima, that he said it's the amount of time that an expert weaver would take to retie the two ends of a snapped thread. So Boy Rav Ashi, Demirachak or Demikarev. Do we mean where the two ends are far apart from each other, where it takes a little bit of time to stretch one towards the other? Or are we talking about where the two ends are right near each other and all he needs to do is knot them together? And again, the answer is take. These takers are not going to be are not really going to be negeya lahalacha, because in the end, as far as the opinions over here, we follow Rabbi Akiva. We have a general rule, halacha ke Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi, that when Rabbi Akiva is arguing against individual tanoim, the halacha is like him. So even though it's not one individual tana, many of them, nevertheless, the halacha follows him, and the amount of time is considered to be the amount of time that it would take to roast an egg and to swallow it, which again, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, is saying would also be the equivalent of the time that it would take to swallow three eggs one after the other. So therefore, all the other ones, we need to know them because they're part of Torah, but they're not negei lahalacha. Therefore, the takus over here shouldn't bother us too much. They're not negei lahalacha. So the next one was Chanan ben Pinchas said Mekadesh Toshit Yadol Sech Pia Lito Kesem. That Chanan ben Pinchas said it would be the amount of time that it would take for a woman to stick her hand into her mouth to remove a splinter that was stuck between her teeth. So Boy Rav Ashi de Mahadik or Deloy Mahadik. Are we talking about where the splinter is wedged in tightly, or are we talking about that? Or are we talking about where it's loose in there and you can get it out easy? And again, take again, we're not sure. Next, we said Plimoy Omer. We said Plimoy said another shear Kadesh Toshit Yadol Asal little kicker. The amount of time that it would take for her to stick her hand into a basket to get a loaf of bread. So here you have several different variables. Now again, Tosfos points out that as far as the size of the loaf of bread, fine, that we can assume that it means an average size loaf. But still, Boy Rav Ashi, de Mahadik or de Lo Mahadik. First of all, is the bread tightly wedged in the basket or not? And also, b'chadata oy ba'atika. Are we talking about a new basket or an old one? A new basket, you have the little ends. Baskets are typically woven out of like lulav leaves or arava leaves or something like that. And they often have in them. So you have, when you first make it, yeah, whatever it is, whatever kind of branches or whatever that it's woven out of, you often have little sharp pieces sticking out inside the basket. Over time, those generally wear off. So now, are we talking about a new basket where you still have those, or are we talking about an old basket where those are already worn off and therefore it's easier to get out the bread? Also, b'chamima or b'krira, are we talking about hot bread or cold bread? So Rashi points out, hot bread, it's softer, therefore it's more easily going to slip out of your grasp. So you go, so therefore you have to pick it up. You have to pick it up more carefully, more gently, as opposed to a cold loaf of bread, you'd be able to pick up faster. Another question, Rav Ashi continues, b'dechiti o b'desari. Are we talking about wheat bread or barley bread? Wheat bread is smoother, so therefore it's more easily gonna slip out of your grasp. And again, you'd have to take more care pulling it out of the basket. And b'rakicha o b'akusha. Are we talking about hard bread or soft bread? So the Gemara answers Teiku again. It's Teiku about all of these questions. But again, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that it has nothing to do with taking bread out of a basket anyway. It has to do with the amount of time that we said that it would take to roast an egg and swallow it, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says the equivalent would be to swallow three eggs one after the other. So therefore, all these takers are not negei lahalacha. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yechonon, kol echad ve'echad ba'atzmai shir. You should know that each one of these tanoim evaluated the amount of time based on himself, based on how long he himself takes with bia. So and based on that is how he is based on that then is how he that's how he decided what the shiur what the correct shiur should be. So the Gemara asks, "Well, Ika ben Azai de Nasiv. What do you mean, though? In the list we have ben Azai, and ben Azai never got married. So how does he have any experience to be able to bring to bear on this?" So the Gemara answers three answers. He both said a Nasiv of Perashava. One answer is that ben Azai did get married, and then he divorced his wife. And there is, in fact, so Rashi refers to a Gemara in Yevamos where Ben Azai says that even though it's true, the Gemara talks about over there about the importance of period of Arivia, the mitzvah of Pruavu. But Ben Azai says, what should I do? Nafshi choshka b'tora. My soul has such a yearning for Torah that I can't give that up to go and marry and have a normal family life. As far as the world having to continue to exist, fine. Other people can have children and they'll keep the world going. It's not necessary for me to. So the Gemara is asking that he never got married. So again, one answer is that he did get married, but then he got divorced. And in fact, there are sources that suggest that there's midrashim that mention him marrying a daughter of Rabbi Akiva. Actually, I think that same Gemara in Yevamos mentions it that he either did kiddushin, they read him a shidduch with a daughter of Rabbi Akiva. I think the Gemara there actually has different versions whether he just did kiddushin with her and never went through with the next stage of it nisuin, or whether he actually married her and then divorced her. So our Gemara then is the first answer in our Gemara over here is going according to the version that he did in fact marry her and then consummate the marriage, but then afterwards he divorced her. So that's the first answer. A second answer is that you're right, Ben Azai himself doesn't have practical experience of this, but he heard from his Rebbe what the Shiur was, and he's quoting that. A third answer is the secret of Hashem goes to those who fear him. In other words, because he was a great Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, therefore Hashem revealed to him that secret, and therefore at how long it takes, and therefore he knew even though he never had any experience of it himself. An interesting thing, Sifrei Kabbalah bring different things of who Ben Azai was a Gilgal of. One interesting idea is was a Gilgal of Shammai HaZaken, because we find that Shammai prevented a number of people from becoming Geirim, as you have the famous story in Shabbos, or would have prevented rather, but then they went to Hillel and became Geirim. So therefore there was this idea like he didn't cause that Jewish Neshamas came into the world, and therefore Ben Azai, who did the same thing, was his Gilgal. There was also an idea that relates to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who the Gemara tells us in Brachas didn't want to get married until he became very sick, and Yeshaya HaNavi told him that he's going to die as a result of not doing period Rivia, and then changed his mind and married Yeshaya's daughter. So there's an interesting explanation of the Kabbalah that Ben Azai is a Google of these various Chachamim, and therefore when we say over here that he heard from his Rebbe or Soda Hashem Lirev might refer to actually what he learned in his previous Google. We mentioned on Amud Aleph in connection with the opinion of Plimoy, we quoted the pasuk Ki ba'ad isha zoyna ad kikar lochem. So now the Gemara is going to go in and darshan this pasuk. So again, the simple meaning of the pasuk is something along the lines of that when a person gets involved with a zoyna, then eventually he may end up being down to his last loaf of bread because he's going to end up wasting his money on her, and it's going to cause that Hashem is going to cause him to lose his wealth. But now the Gemara is going to find other meanings in that pasuk. So the Gemara says, Dorosh Rav Avira. Rav Avira gave a Dorosha. Zimnin Omala Meshmei de Rav Ami, Zimnin Omala Meshmei de Rav Asi. Sometimes he said it in the name of Rav Ami, sometimes in the name of Rav Asi, because he had learned it from both of them. Kola Oichal Lechem, Blena Tilos Yadayim. If a person eats bread without washing his hands, Ki'ilu Baal Isha Zoyna. It's as if it's considered as bad as if he had relations with a woman who's a Zoyna. Now, what's the connection? Now he's going to douche in it from the pasuk. But what's the deeper connection? What does one have to do with the other? So Tosfos Shants, excellent on the side of the Amud over here, explains that when a person eats without washing, he's eating in a hefgudika way, like in a way where he's not paying attention to the rules of how you're supposed to eat, which includes that you're supposed to wash. And the same way, that's exactly what an isha zona is, that she doesn't pay attention to the rules of who she's supposed to and not supposed to be with. So therefore, there's a similarity between them. So Shanema Kiba ad Isha Zona ad Kikar Lochem, as the Pasuk says, because of a or because of, or in the presence of an isha zona until a loaf of bread. So in other words, he's doubting that because of the avera that a person does with a loaf of bread is as if he had relations with a zona. And Mao Shah points out there's a certain connection on a poshita level as well, that actually the Gemara elsewhere mentioned. So there is the idea that znus causes a person to become poor. We find other psukim in Mishlei that express that idea. And a person who doesn't wash before bread also becomes poor, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos. So therefore, there is in fact a direct connection between these two things. However, Omar Rava, but Rava says in that case, then the pasuk doesn't really fit with the Darasha. Hi, ba'ad isha zayna ad kikar lachem. In that case, then what is the pasuk saying? Because of an isha zayna up to a loaf of bread, it should be the other way around. Ba'ad means because of this, you reach the other thing. So what are we saying? So ba'ad, in other words, how does the pasuk go? Ba'ad isha zayna ad kikar lachem, implying that the isha zayna comes first and the kikar lachem comes second. So according to your drasha, it should be the other way around. Ba'ad kikar lachem ad isha zayna mevarlei. The pasuk should be saying the other way around. Because of a kikar lachem, therefore a person comes up to, meaning he's considered as severe an avera as if he had relations with an isha zayna. The way you have it, Rav Avira, he says, is backwards. Ella Omar Rava. So rather, Rava doushins the pasuk different. It means that a man who has relations with an isha zona, in the end, his punishment is going to be that he's going to become so poor that he's going to be begging for a loaf of bread. So closer to the pshat of the pasuk. Another drasha in this connection, Amar Rab Zrika, Amar Rab Elazar, Kolam Mezalzel Natilas Yadayim, a person who is careless with Natilas Yadayim. And Rashi explains Mezalzel means that. Which, by the way, Rashi points out, Rava's problem with Rav Avira's drasha was not because of the order of the pasuk per se, because sometimes you find that psukim are darshin out of order. Sometimes you have that the pasuk puts the cause. So usually you have the cause would be the food before the effect, but sometimes you have the pasuk puts the effect before the cause. That's not what's bothering Rava. What's bothering Rava is the ba'ad, and ad, where the word ba'ad means because of, making it clear that the isha zona is the cause and the ad kikar lachem is the result. So therefore, that's what leads Rava to Daush, and then that's what it means when a man gets involved with an isha zayna, then he ends up being down to his life, he ends up having to beg for a loaf of bread. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Zirka, Omer of Elazar, Kolam Zalzim, Natilas Yadayim, Nekum in Olam. If a person is careless with Natilas Yadayim, and careless means it actually says that he regularly eats without washing his hands, then Nekum in Olam, then he's uprooted from the world. In other words, he loses his place in Olam Hazeh and then maybe in Olam Abba as well. And the reason is because a person who's over on Dibre Chachamim is Chayef Misa. Rashi refers to a Gemara elsewhere that says that, and that quotes a pasuk from Kehelis. Actually, then Tosfos asks, in that case, then in that case, why are we mentioning specifically Natilas Yadayim? The same is true of any Din Dirabbanan. So Tosfos explains that no, Nekum and Olam doesn't necessarily mean that he loses his life. It means that he becomes poor. So he becomes poor, and therefore he's suffering. He's suffering the problems of poverty. So there is the idea that over al dibur chacham chayiv misa. That's a general thing for a person who's over al dibur chachamim. Here, in addition, we're saying that a person who's mezalzim until he's dying, then not only that, he also ends up becoming poor and suffering from that. So let's talk about some dinim in the Tilas Yadayim. Amar Abchiva Ashi Amar Rav, Mayim Rishonim Tzarech Shiyak Bia Yod V'Mayla. When you're washing the first water, when you're washing the Tilas Yadayim before eating, you have to lift up your hands upward, meaning that your fingers should be pointing upward so that the water drips, so that the water goes down towards your wrists. The reason is, and then so the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines why that is. But you have to do that. You have to make sure, in short, you have to make sure that the water from beyond your wrists does not go and flow downwards towards your fingers. So therefore, your fingers have to be pointing a little bit up. My machronim, on the other hand, when you're washing my machronim at the end of the meal, tzorach shiyashpil yod v'mata, there, on the contrary, you have to have that your fingers are pointing downward. Now, one idea behind Mayim Achronim is because there might be Melech Sedoimis on your hands, but not necessarily is there Melech Sedoimis. But there's also the point in those times, particularly they used to eat with their bare hands. So therefore, you'd also have all the grease and all the everything from the food would be on your fingers. So you want to make sure that all of that goes off your hands and goes into the container or whatever it is that you're washing Mayim Achronim into rather than remaining on your hands. So therefore, your fingers have to be pointing downward. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Hanoto Yodav Tzorach Shek via Yodav Lamaila. Exactly that. When you're washing hands before the meal, you have to have your hands pointing upward. And the reason is, Shema Yetzu Amayim Chutzla Perek, because otherwise the water might go beyond the wrist. Perek means a joint. So here it means the joint of the wrist. The Yachsu will be Tamo Seredaim. And then they'll flow back onto your hands. And then they'll be Matame your hands. Now what happens is like this. When you wash, why is it that we wash multiple times? Why do we not just wash one time on each hand? The idea is, so midrabanan, we know a person's hands are tame. Midrabanan, a person's hands are sheni l'tuma. So what happens is, so when you wash the first time, that makes your hands tahor, but the water itself on your hands remains tame. Then you wash a second time, and that is matahor, the water that remained on your hands. We have minhag Chabad is to wash three times. That's based on something that it says in Hagois Oshri in the Hagois on the Rosh in Masechta Chulin, and it has to do with the fact that your hands may not. Basically, it has to do with the fact that your hands may not be completely clean before you washed, and then therefore the first washing will remove any dirt that was there that would otherwise be a chatzitza, and then the second and the third times accomplish what we're saying over here, what Rashi is quoting over here from the Mishnayos and Yudayim. So the point is, in other words, but this whole concept of the water being matahar your hands and then itself becoming tummy and then you wash again, that only applies up until the wrist. So therefore, what happens is if you wash the first one and the water goes the first time, the first pour, it goes beyond the wrist. Then you wash the second time. What happens is if any of that water that was beyond your wrist drips back onto your hands, it's going to make them tame again because that water did not become tahor with the second washing. So therefore, you need to have your fingers pointing upward to avoid that problem so that any water that goes beyond your wrist will stay there and won't dribble back down onto your hand. So that's how you have to do that. And that's that. And then on the other hand, with Mayim Achronim, again, we're saying the idea is you want to remove any Melech Sedoimis. You want to make sure that the Rashi mentioned the point, actually, you want to make sure that all the grease and dirt and whatever from the food and goes off your hands and then dribbles off your hands. And then that I'm also adding the point, given that the idea, behind Mayim Achronim is because of Melech Sedoimis, then you want to make sure that all the salt goes off your hands and doesn't remain there. More dinim about Netilas Yadayim. Amar Abahu, and then statements about Netilas Yadayim. Amar Abahu, kolo ochel pasbel in nigov Yadayim. If a person eats bread without drying his hands, so now he washed very well, he did the two or three washings, and now his hands are tahor. But the problem is now his hands are also wet. So now if he picks up the bread, then it's going to be very, very, very yichy and unattractive to eat because it's going to get soaked through with water. So therefore, you have to dry your hands first. So if you don't do that, says Rabbi Bahu, kilo oichel lechem tome. It's as if he's eating bread, which is tome. Shenema, as you find a pasuk in Yechezkel, Hashem tells Yechezkel to act out various things that are going to represent what's going to happen at the time of the Churban and the Golos. One of them is Hashem tells him to make a certain kind of bread, a sort of bread or stew made up of many different kinds of grains. This is it. You have in the health food stores, the Ezekiel bread is based on that recipe. And Hashem tells him to prepare it in a very unappetizing way. And Hashem tells him, this is how. This is how the Jewish people are going to be eating their bread tome among the nations where they go into Golos, meaning, in other words, that we see that something disgusting and unattractive can be called tome. So therefore, so here also, when a person washes and then eats the bread with wet hands, then also it's considered tome in a similar vein to that. Which, in fact, by the way, you have that. This is why. So when it comes to saying the bracha al matilas yudayim, we don't do it. Usually, you say a bracha on a mitzvah before you do the mitzvah, not after. But here, you wash first, then you say al matilas yudayim. Why is that? So the reason is because you don't want to make the bracha when your hands are tummy. But what you do is, given that the rubbing your hands together and the drying them is considered part of the washing as well, based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, then you do that. You say the bracha before you dry your hands, and that way it's still considered in a sense as though you're doing it before the mitzvah was completed. Okay. Now, so before we got into this discussion of Tilas Yadayim by quoting half of a pasuk, we quoted the half of the pasuk Ki ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lofem. So now the Gemara is going to douch in the other half of the pasuk. And the pasuk continues, Umay v'eshes ish nefesh ikara satsu. What does the second half of the pasuk mean? It says a married woman will ensnare, will trap a precious soul. So now the word yukara can mean precious, but also the word yoker can mean gaivadik. The word yoker means honor, so therefore it refers to a person who feels a sense of honor, who feels a sense of gaiva. So amr of chiba abba amr of yechanan kol adam shiyesh begasas aruach, a person who is proud, a person who is a baal gaiva, l'soif nichshal ba'eshes ish. Eventually, he will stumble over an eshes ish. He's going to end up having relations with an eshes ish, maybe even inadvertently, but still. Shenema, the eshes ish nefesh yikara satsud, as the pasuk says, the eshes ish will ensnare, will trap the nefesh yikara, yikara, meaning the one that holds itself high and proud. So therefore, he's going to wind up stumbling over an eshes ish and being mizanik. What's the connection? Why does one bring to the other? So the iyun Yaakov and en Yaakov bring because the Gemara mentions elsewhere that when a person becomes a Baal Gaiva, he loses his Chochma. So therefore, when he loses his Chochma, then he winds up with the Ruach Shtus. We learned a few days ago, that we learned yesterday, actually, that Ein Odom Over Avera, Elim Ken Nichnas, with Ruach Shtus. So now the result that he lost his Chochma is that now he has the Ruach Shtus, which comes to causing him to do an Avera. On the previous one, by the way, about the Uichel Nigov Yadayim, when a person washes and eats without drying his hands, by the way, Marsha mentions another reason why the Gemara Daushins that's referring why it brings the Pasuk from Yechezkel, why the Gemara refers it to wash to why the Gemara refers to washing the hands. Marsha, by the way, points out another angle on it. The word the Pasuk continues, the Gemara doesn't quote this half of the Pasuk, but it says that Hashem says, I will make this happen by goyim asher adichem shah. Now the simple meaning of adichem means that I will push them away. In other words, that I'll send them into Golos among those nations. But Marsha points out the word adichem can also be darshan as related to the word hadocha, which means washing. Therefore, we understand that there's a connection between washing and bread, which is tameh, and that's the connection that Rabba Bohu said about not drying his hands. So again, so now we're saying the other drasha that was saying that a person who has gasas aruach is going to end up being nichshol in an eshes ish. Maushal gives a different explanation. What's the connection? So what's the connection there again? What's the connection between gasas aruach and an eshes ish? So Rashi says what it means is like this: the first half of the pasuk ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lofen. That we said because a man gets involved with an isha zona, he winds up having to beg for bread. So what happens is, therefore, the nefesh yikara, the proud soul, he goes and then starts chasing after the isha sish and eventually gets her and is mizan. And again, Iyun Yaakov had said that point about Ruach Shtus. Marsha says a different point. The nefesh gvoiha, the nefesh yikara over here refers to a person who is very vain and very concerned about his appearance. So you have, like, for example, with Yosef, for example, we know he was misalsal b'sayre, he's curling his hair, he's paying attention to his appearance, and then Potiphar's wife came to try to get him. So the same way over here, it means that he's busy, he's too involved in looking at his appearance. So therefore, the result is that he may end up getting trapped by an eshes ish. But the Gemara says, Omar Rava, hi nefesh yikara. Then in that case, why are you using the word nefesh yikara, where the word yokar literally means precious? Nefesh gvoya mivayla, it should say, a high soul, a person who considers himself high, a baal gaiva. And also Rava asks on this drasha, he sots with me, by the way. The expression should be that she entraps him. Hugh, it makes it sound like the nefesh yikara is the one to trap the isha. Now, why is that? So therefore, Rava says, Ela Omer Rava, kol abal eshes ish. No, the drosha is different. What it means is, a man who has relations with an eshes ish, afilu lomad Torah, then even if he learned Torah, d'chtib bo yikara hi mipninim, about which the pasuk says that the Torah is more precious than pninim. Pninim is some kind of precious stone, rubies or whatever it is exactly. Anyway, and we doubtion that the word mipninim means mikoyen gadol shenichnas lefnai v'lefnim. A person who learns Torah is even greater than the Kohen Gadol who goes lefnai v'lefnim, who goes into the innermost part of the Beis Hamikdash. So a Talmid Chacham is even greater than that. One thing is that one thing is Mefoshim point out that in the pasuk over there in Mishle where it says Yikorahim Mipninim, you actually have a kriyuksin. The word is read Mipninim with two nuns, but it's actually spelt without the second nun. It's written as if it said Mipnoyim. So therefore, that leads the Gemara to Darshan that Pnoyim is like a double expression of Pnim. Anyway, so a Talmid Chacham is even greater than a Kohen Gadol who goes Lefnai V'Lefnim. Nevertheless, if he gets involved with an Eish HaSish, he Titzudenu L'Dina Shel Gehenim, she will trap him and lead him to the din of Gehenna, as we learned yesterday about that when a person does an Aveira, then it wraps him up and takes him and then takes him to Gehenna. Tosfos discusses over here, what about if he does Tshuva, that still he needs Tshuva, he needs Yisurim. So he can get out of it, but there can still also be the Gemara elsewhere mentions Nitrad bin Olam, he's pushed out of the world. Tosfos mentions distinctions. One might be if he had Yisurim versus not. Another would be if she bore a manzer from him. Whereas as the Alter Rebbe mentions at the end of Perek Ches in Tanya, that sometimes we have mu'uvas lo yuchal liska, and sometimes we have a crooked thing that can't be made straight, where a man was involved with an ashes ish or someone like that, and had children from her, where then it's much more difficult to do something about it, because as the Alter Rebbe says, you already have the neshama came down and was in a slabish and a goof boss of a dom. As we know, you have the famous story involving the Mittel Rebbe and the Bar Tshuva, where he was involved with a goita and had children with her, and eventually his Tshuva was powerful enough to make that go away also. But that's an unusual thing. Usually you have, like Tosfos is saying over here, once a mamzer is born, it's much more difficult to do Tshuva and to undo the effects of it. The Gemara goes on. So now that we talked about Gaiva, we started by talking about that a person who is a Baal Gaiva ends up Nichshol with Eishes Ish. So now, even though, fine, we said that Rava had schlugged up that drosha, nevertheless, though, the Gemara is going to go on for a little while now to talk about the problem of Gasus Aruach, the problem of Gaiva. So Amar Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shimon Yechoy, Kol Adam Sheyesh BeGasus Aruach, a person who is proud, is a Baal Gaiva, Kilo Oved Avodis Kechavim, as if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. How do we know that? We have a Gzeira Shav, Ksiv Hocha, Toyavas Hashem Kog Balev. A Pasuk in Mishle says, the abomination of Hashem is anybody who has a proud heart. Uchtiv Hasem, the Loisavi Se'eva Abisecha. In connection with Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, you should not bring Te'eva, you should not bring something disgusting into your house. So we see that there's a connection between those two things. Marsha points out a deeper point of the connection is that a person has within him a ruach tuma and a ruach tara. Hashem is with the person. Hashem's shechina is with the person when he shows that he has the ruach tara, which is that he's humble. On the other hand, the ruach tuma is a power of avodah zarah. So therefore, it's as if he's worshiping avodah zarah because there's a connection between them. So that's Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yechoy. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yechanan didei omar. Rabbi Yochanan himself doubting it differently. The Baal Gaiva is as if he's denying the essentialness of Hashem. Meaning, an Ovid Avodah Zarah is bad enough. He worships Avodah Zarah, but at least he understands that Hashem exists. Rabbi Yochanan himself is saying the Baal Gaiva is even worse, as if he's denying Hashem completely. As the pasuk says, your heart will become proud and you'll forget Hashem. So we see that a person who becomes proud amounts to that he's forgetting Hashem. Again, Maoshah says that there's the spirit of Tumah that's in him causes him to forget Hashem, who is the source of Tumah. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Amar, Kila ba al kol arayis. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina says that a Baal Gaiva is somebody as if he had relations with all the arayis. how do we see a connection between Arayas and Gaira? Ksivacha toyav as Hashem kol gvalev. Again, you have the pasuk that we quoted before. The abomination of Hashem is anybody who's proud. Ochtivas and kias kolot te'eva Yisrael v'goyimer. And then the pasuk says about Arayas, all of these disgusting things, all these abominations the goyim did in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they're being kicked out of the land. So we see that again, te'eva can mean Arayas as well. What's the connection? Marsha says, because once he's a Baal Gaiva and he has a spirit of Tumah in him, so therefore that leads him to the spirit of Tumah of Arayas as well. Ula Omakila Bona Bum. Ula says it's not only that, as if he built a Bama to worship of a desire. Shenemar, Chiblu Lachemina Odomash and Neshama Ba'afe, the pasuk says, stay away from the person who the neshama is in his nose. Ki bameh nechshavu, because what is he counted for? Al tikri bameh ela bum. So don't read bameh, but rather bama, which is a bama, a place that's made to worship Avodah Zarah. So in other words, you have a person who feels himself very important. Hashem neshama ba'apa. He feels like his neshama is in his nose. So therefore, stay away from such a person because he is considered like a bum. In the wedding mimer and then the Chododi, it talks about an idea behind it. Also, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that you're not supposed to go greet somebody or engage in business or whatever before davening, because then it's also considered by men who, and it explains over there that neshama ba'apo means that his neshama is only in his nose, like it hasn't really penetrated into the rest of his body. Like in other words, only after davening is it actually going to do that. So here it might be a similar thing as well, that the Baal Gaiva only allows his neshama to remain in his nose and doesn't allow it to nefesh other kiss to penetrate and have an effect on the rest of his body. Maharsha points out also, of course, the word bama itself means something high. That's literally what it means. And we had a drasha in Masechta Nedarim along those lines. Menachlio bamos, that a person might become high and proud. So therefore, so we're saying, in other words, that there's a connection between that and Gaiva. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll continue on the subject of Gaiva and other things related to that.